Well, thank you for... it was a longer reading, the whole chapter today, but it seemed to me that it was a bit, I don't know, arrogant for me to chop off Jesus' prayer. I mean, Jesus' prayer is good. It's very good. So I wanted you to hear the whole of what Jesus prayed. It's been great to be part of that time of prayer together, and the sense that God is listening to our prayers, the sense that he is inspiring us by his Spirit to pray before him. And I hope that you were encouraged and thrilled as we sat together before God. The purpose of this series really has been to encourage each other in prayer. We agreed at the beginning that we all had something to learn about prayer. But I think there's almost like a spiritual deadness or sleep that comes over us that restricts us and stops us from really being quite as passionate about prayer as we truly should be if we've got a grasp on what it is that God's saying we can do. Do you agree? You know, it's like we want to pray, and yet everything else crowds in, and everything else seems more important, and we don't feel up to it, or whatever it is, but different things put us off that track that God's calling us to pray. When I was coming here, one of the first things that the Spirit revealed to me was, you will achieve nothing without prayer. You will achieve nothing without prayer. Well, that's a statement of the obvious, really, isn't it? I mean, we know we'll achieve nothing without prayer, but I think God was saying that in a particular way. And people have said at different times, you know, we need more prayer meetings. And I've responded, until people want to pray, there's no point having a prayer meeting. We can gather, and people that dutifully come will come, but until there's a heart to pray, there's no point putting more times in the week. So this week we are offering different times of prayer, but really it's the heart of prayer that we're trying to stir up, that desire, that passion that God would move amongst us. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and we've been asking him through this series to teach us by his word and by his Spirit. My aim has not been to give you more information about prayer, but to encourage you to pray more and to take in some of the things that we can learn from Scripture. It was planned to coincide with this 11 days of praying, Thy Kingdom Come. The little bookmarks are available if you'd like to take one away at the end, just to give you another way of praying. And there are different times during the week you can gather with others to pray in different ways. St. Mary's is open with a prayer trail. You might want to go sometime during the day to see that trail and pray round those different prayer stations. So we've gone through this series. We thought about Moses' prayer life, David's prayer life, and Daniel's prayer life. Effective, powerful prayers. In Moses' prayer life, we saw him crying out to God, not just saying prayers, but crying out to God, opening his heart to God. Recognition of his desperate need of God. We saw that it was always a journey towards worship rather than just asking for things, that he came to know God's way, to know God and to see his glory. We saw that it was by grace that prayer established the works of Moses' hands. And we saw through the Psalms that that was also true for us, that the work of our hands is established through prayer. So if we want anything to be established for God's kingdom through us, it has to be through prayer. We looked at David's prayer life and just three different aspects of that. And we saw that he prayed God's promises, where God had promised through Scripture to him and to the nation of Israel. He took that back to God and prayed that before God. He was deeply aware of his own need, but he trusted in God's ability to meet that need. And he was persistent in prayer. He kept coming back with those requests. And in Daniel's life, we saw that he prayed regularly, day after day, three times a day. He did it in private, but it wasn't secret. Even his enemies knew that he prayed, and they tried to use that to catch him out. We saw that confession cleared the way for God to fulfill his promises. And we saw that it was possible to confess on behalf of the nation, to stand in that place, to intercede for the nation. We saw Daniel praying God's promises again. He took hold of the promise that God had given to Israel. Although it wasn't given to him personally, it was in Scripture, and he was therefore able to pray that before God with authority. We saw that both his confession and his petitions were centered on God, not on his own failures or abilities. And we saw that prayer is a two-way conversation. Quite dramatically in Daniel's life, he prays and there's a pause, and then there's a floodgates open as visions and angels and prophecies come flooding in, so that the whole of the rest of the book of Daniel is full of stuff that is way beyond our understanding. But God just gives a glimpse of all that he's got planned. I guess in my mind, Daniel sort of come to God and said, you know, let's talk about Israel going back to the Holy Land. And God said, yeah, let's talk about that. And let me tell you what else I've got in mind. And he starts to pour out his heart to Daniel of all the things, all the kingdoms that are going to rise and fall and kings that are going to come and go. And Israel going back to the Holy Land is like that much of it. But Daniel's just touched, like the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Daniel's just touched the edge of God's plan. And God loves to reveal his plans to his prophets. So he revealed what he was going to do. Well, today we're going to look at Jesus' prayer life. Of all the impossible tasks I've undertaken in this series, this is surely the most ridiculous and possibly blasphemous. How can we possibly sum up the prayer life of Jesus in a few moments? Well, again, I'm only going to scratch the very surface of what Jesus was doing in his prayer life. I hope that it's useful even in scratching the surface, touching the hem of his garment again, maybe. It definitely could be a series on its own, but I'm going to try and limit myself to just to that passage that we heard read. The first thing that strikes you when you think about Jesus' prayer life is that Jesus prayed. Now you might say, well, of course he prayed. He was a religious sort. Of course he prayed. But just a minute, we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. All the fullness of God in bodily form. Anything he wanted, he could have. He had the power and the authority to achieve whatever he wanted. And yet, he prayed. Jesus had quite a full schedule. He had 3 years to communicate an understanding of salvation by repentance and faith. He had 3 years to mold 12 very unlikely disciples into the group that would transform the world. Yet, he prayed. He found time in his schedule. He found space because he knew prayer was important. And in this and in so many other things, Jesus demonstrated how we, ordinary human beings, can live a godly life. Because he emptied himself of all his godly abilities and simply relied on the Father by the power of the Spirit to do what the Father commanded. So in Jesus' life, the first thing that strikes us is that he prayed. Although co-equal with God, he demonstrates what it means to be fully human and yet be able to do those things that are way beyond what we could ask or imagine. We don't hear very much of what Jesus prayed. He often went to secret places. He went away to pray. But on a few occasions, he prays out loud on the go, wherever he is and the situation that he's up against. And often he says it's so that those that are around can hear what he prays. So it gives an insight in the relation between him and the Father. And he prays in such a way that others can hear and understand what that relationship is. There are one or two examples of the prayers that Jesus prayed, and these are written down for us. Tom Wright comments that it's interesting that those different prayers that are written down are aspects of what Jesus prays in John 17. So Jesus is praying similar things through his life. So this prayer isn't a strange prayer as he approaches the end of his life. This is a prayer that reflects the pattern of his prayer life throughout his life. So John 17 does come at a very crucial time in Jesus' life. He talks about the time having come. That word, the time having come, it speaks of God's moment, God's time, God's chronos moment, his kairos moment, the moment where time and God's time come together, so that this is the moment that Jesus is going to be glorified and achieve all that God has sent him to do to bring salvation. And as he comes to face that moment, he prays this prayer. It comes at the end of an amazing night of teaching. If you get a chance to look back through the coming week at what Jesus had been teaching through that evening, we often split it up because, it's quite long. But imagine sitting with Jesus through the whole of that teaching program that he does in just one night. There's just so much that Jesus is teaching the disciples. And at the end of that, he turns to prayer. I think as well as giving an insight into how Jesus prayed up until this time, it also gives us an insight into what Jesus prays now. We're told that Jesus prays at the right hand of the Father. Have you ever wondered what he's praying? Well, this is an insight into what does Jesus pray at the right hand of the Father right now for us and for his people. And Jesus prayed for three groups of people, for himself, for the apostles, and for all believers. I think, again, it's worth noting that Jesus prays for himself, that God would fulfill his promises about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ. If Jesus had to pray that, Jesus being perfect and having done everything correctly in his life, and yet for his work to be established, he still had to pray, surely we need to pray. Jesus prayed for himself that God would fulfill all that he promised him. We might think it unnecessary, but Jesus sees it as essential. Jesus prayed for unity and protection for the apostles. And he prays not just for that night where it is going to be important that they're protected from the authorities, not arrested along with Jesus, but also for the coming days when they're going to be persecuted, where they're going to be pushed out of the synagogues. And yet they're going to need to find that measure of joy in him. Jesus knows they're going to be rejected by the world. So he prays that they might be fully immersed in God, that they might find joy in him. And then he sends the apostles to proclaim the good news. And he prays for them to be made holy by the word of truth and protected from the evil one. He speaks about them being protected by the name that God has given him. Well, Jesus prayed to the Father in heaven, and they pray again to their Father in heaven. They're adopted into God's family so they can pray to the Heavenly Father. He says that he doesn't send them out into the world asking that God would remove them from the world, but rather that God would protect them from the evil one in the world. And he prays that God would sanctify them by his truth. And he says that God's word is truth. You know, these are really important prayers. These are prayers that shaped history. Because God answered these prayers, didn't he? Think about those 11 disciples that were left. What God did in and through them. They weren't taken out of the world. They went out into the world with God's name on their lips, with Jesus in their hearts. They proclaimed the word of truth. They were transformed by it. Those they spoke to were transformed by it. And you are here today because they went out. It's a good job Jesus prayed, isn't it? That was the impact of that prayer for the apostles. Finally, Jesus prayed for us. For all those who believe the apostles' message. And he prays for us that we might be fully immersed into God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and have unity with each other. And he prays this for a specific purpose, that the world might know that the Father has sent Jesus and that the Father loves us as he loves the Son. Now that's just amazing, isn't it? This is one of these moments that I need a flicker of recognition in your face. You know, Jesus wants you to know that the Father loves you as he loves his own Son. Do you know that? That was his desire. That was Jesus' prayer. His longing for you as he approached his death, and I think all through his life, and now at the right hand of the Father, this is what he's praying. May the world know through you that the Father sent the Son, and that the Father loves you the way he loves Jesus. No, you not got it, but yeah, you know, there's got to be a wow moment there for you, hasn't there? That God loved the Son so much, and that's how he loves you. That's how he loves you. So this was Jesus' prayer, and this was the culmination of his prayer for himself, for his apostles, and then for us, for all those who would believe in their message. He prays for us to be with him and to see his full glory. Wow! I am so looking forward to that, because all Jesus' prayers have been answered so far. And then we come to this one where he says that he's praying that we're going to be with him and that we'll see his full glory as with the Father. And all that is so that God's love may be in us and Jesus himself may be in us. So we see then that the whole benefit of the work of the cross was established in prayer. This prayer is where the cross is opened up to us, where the cross is poured out into our hearts, where it benefits us in practical, physical terms as we receive that spiritual anointing that comes through the cross. So it also gives us that insight as to how Jesus prays now and goes on praying in the future. So this series is aimed at helping us to pray more and pray more deeply. Yet what I want to mainly send you away with today is that recognition. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. That should give you great comfort, great assurance that whatever you're praying and getting wrong, Jesus knows what you need. And Jesus is praying at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is praying for you. So what can we just summarize from that? Jesus prayed. He prays for us to be immersed in God's love, in him and filled by him, in unity with each other, with him, and seeing his glory. And all of that is so that the world might know the Father sent Jesus and that he has loved us as his own Son. It is a long and beautiful prayer in which the real heart of Jesus towards the Father and his authority to pray and his unity with the Father is clearly seen. But actually the heart of it is very simple, isn't it? Very simple. That he wants for us to have that same unity with the Father that he has with the Father and for us to know that love that he knows and experiences from the Father. Not just so that we can feel blessed, but so that the whole world can know that the Father sent the Son and loves us. So our reading concluded with that message, really, that we too are sent out into the world as the Father sent Jesus. We're going to need to be sanctified by the word of truth through the scriptures. We need to be protected from the evil one. We need to receive the full measure of joy which comes from being filled with the love of God and the presence of Jesus. We need unity with God, with each other, that the world might know that the Father sent Jesus and loves us. And he makes an important promise here. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known to them. Verse 26. I've been banging on about how we should pray the promises of God. Jesus has made a promise. What can we do with that? Pray. pray. We can pray that promise. He's promised that he will make the Father known to us. We can come to the Father, therefore, in Jesus' name and know that we're praying in the will of Jesus when we say, Lord Jesus, will you make the Father known to us? May we know God. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to put a prayer on the screen, and I'm going to suggest that we respond to God as we continue in worship. Let me pray this prayer. Father, as you have sent us into the world, as you sent Jesus, may your children know the full measure of joy. May we be sanctified by your word of truth and protected from the evil one. May you be in us and bring us to complete unity so that the world might know you sent Jesus and you love us. Amen.